Good morning. Good to see everyone. I know you're probably all a little tired like I am. These time changes I really hate, but it takes me a while to get back into the sink. So I want to talk this morning about the mind of Christ. This is a familiar text out of 1 Corinthians, and I think it's the best argument I've read in the scripture for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you, I attended Christian church as a child, about 10 years old, and I was baptized twice as a child, and I was told, now you're saved, now you're Christian, but I wasn't, and I'm not blaming that on them. I'm not trying to say that. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea, and when I got saved in 84, the Lord allowed me to attend about 7 different churches in 15 years. And I wasn't looking for the perfect church, but I was trying to find a place where I fit in. And I remember the first time I heard somebody talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I was like the Ephesian believers. I didn't even know there was one. The restoration churches are terrible about misrepresenting the Holy Spirit or just not talking about him at all. Now, I spent 2 years in a charismaniac church, so I understand what makes people kind of back up, because that was a trip. I did a lot of drugs, and I never acted like that. So that was weird. I was in a Southern Baptist church, Free Will Baptist church. The last place I was in was a Nazarene church. That's where I attended Bible college. So I've been trained under Wesleyan theology. And when I decided that I needed to leave, I felt like the Lord led me back here. And I really believe the experiences that I had in all those different churches, the things I learned, really helped me to understand. I was saved in 1984. I was baptized in February of 1984. And about March or May, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it bothers me in the restoration churches. I'm not being critical. But I have heard people say, that died with the apostles. That's what I believe. You can believe that if you want, but it doesn't make it so. You have to look at what does the scripture say. Did God put a timeline? Read Jeremiah 31. God promised that his spirit was going to dwell in his people. And he said, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and they will know me. Do you know that God wants to be intimate with you and I? I'm talking in the heart, in the mind. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, having the mind of Christ. We're not talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I firmly believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That freaks people out. Well, think of it this way. In the restoration churches, we believe by baptism, by immersion, full immersion in water. Because the Greek word baptizo means to be fully whelmed, to be fully wet. It comes from a term they used when they dyed cloth, and they submerged the cloth in dye. And baptizo in the Holy Spirit is no different. It means a total immersion in the Spirit. And for those of you that might say, well, I don't believe it's for us today, the Bible says Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So are you going to tell him that it's not for you? Well, we believe that you get all the Holy Spirit when you're baptized and you don't get any more. Then why did Jesus tell us to ask for him? Yeah, I'm not talking about second works. I'm saying that Jesus himself told us that if we, as evil as we are, know how to give good things to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Yeah. Now, if I ask for him because I think I'm going to have these weird gifts and I'm going to impress people, God will not give me the Holy Spirit. He will not fill me with him. And we're going to talk today about the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul's talking about. The text is out of 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16. And when we get done with this, if you say, I still don't believe it, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But we are going to look at what the Bible says, what the Apostle Paul had to say, and what Jesus himself had to say about the Holy Spirit, about us being filled. Father, I thank you for your word because I know it's the truth. Father, I pray that you will open the eyes of your children today, every one of us, to show us how much we need your Spirit living within us, how much we need your Spirit guiding us, how much we need your Holy Spirit teaching us the truth. And Father, if we have any prejudices about this, I pray that you will tear them down and that you will speak to us from your word and speak the truth as your word is truth. And we will give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Paul says, "For who knows a person's thoughts better than the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by the human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now you notice Paul didn't say, "We apostles have the mind of Christ." You don't. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, you remember what Peter said? "This promise is for you, for children, for all those who are far off." He said God promised he'd pour his Spirit out on both men and women. I've heard some feminists claim, you know, Christians try to keep women under their thumbs. Christianity did more to liberate the women of that culture in that day than any religion ever has. Jesus saw the importance of women. Who were the ones at the tomb that first saw him resurrected? The women. The men were hiding in a room. Who'd Jesus send to tell the men he was risen? The women. And you know, in those days, a woman's word wasn't worth anything. But Jesus said, "You go tell them." So God doesn't differentiate between male and female. Now, there's some things he has laid out that I firmly believe in. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, he's available to all in the church. Okay? I said person. I have talked to Christian cults, and one told me the Holy Spirit's just God's power manifested, like the wind and like the electricity. Well, if you go to the book of Acts, Ananias lied to Peter, and Peter said, "How has Satan filled your heart to tempt you to lie to the Holy Spirit?" You can't lie to wind or electricity. It has to be a person. And then he said, in the same breath, "You haven't lied to men, but you've lied to God." He called the Holy Spirit a person, and he called him God. Now, when I say a person, I'm not talking about flesh and blood. He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. He can be angered. Electricity can't get angry. It can ruin your day, but it can't get angry. I've heard other people say, I heard one restoration preacher say, "Well, see, the Holy Spirit, he embodies the Bible." No, he does not. He inspired the Bible. He embodies God's people. Yeah. And that's what Paul's talking about here today. There was false teaching going on coming into the Corinthian church that Paul was dealing with. There were people trying to go obey the law of Moses and think, "Well, I'll just be a good enough person to be saved." And Paul was saying, "No, wait a minute. You don't have to go that route. You have the mind of Christ if you have the Holy Spirit." You remember later in Corinthians, he said, "If any of you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. You're not his child." Or Paul, are you saying I got to talk in tongues and flop around like a chicken with my head cut off? No, that's not what he said. He said, if you don't possess the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. So if you have a misconception about the person of the Holy Spirit, you don't have him. God's not going to give him to you. Till you humble yourself and say, I'm wrong and you're right. I heard another restoration preacher said, we don't need him anymore because we got the whole Bible. They didn't have the whole Bible back then. That's ignorance. They had the Old Testament back then. The Old and New Testament are one book, church. This is what they taught out of. This is what they preached out of. They preached salvation out of the Old Testament. Didn't preach the law. Paul was a great opponent of those who said, you have to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. How did Paul know that? A Pharisee, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul said, nobody comprehends God's thoughts except the Spirit. Do you want to know God's thoughts? I do. Do you want to understand this book? I do. What's Paul saying in this to this church? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't understand this book. That's where false doctrine comes from, church. The Apostle Paul said they are men who do not have the Spirit. Their minds are puffed up. Their imaginations run wild. And they make up all kinds of doctrines. I don't want to be in that group. I don't want to be deceived by that group. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox and we'll get back to the text. Paul said, who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? We can all testify to that. You and I know things about ourselves we don't want anybody else to know. We know deep things. But I want you to know something. God knows deeper. He knows you better than you know you. And over the 41 years I've been a Christian, 42, I have had the Holy Spirit reveal things about me I had no idea was in me. Things I didn't think was a big deal, and the Holy Spirit go, hey, that's wrong. You need to get rid of that. You need to humble yourself. You need to repent. Why did he tell me that? Because he knows the deep things of God, and I believe God said, Holy Spirit, tell him. The Holy Spirit can search my heart and show it to God, and God can say, that's not going to do. He's going to have to get rid of this. And I won't see it as something that's wrong until the Spirit reveals it to me. Now, John wrote in his gospel, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. We know that's Jesus. That's in John chapter 1. Jesus revealed God the Father to his disciples. He also promised that he would continue to reveal the Father to his followers. He said in John 17 in the high priestly prayer, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So Jesus himself said, this group I got here 2,000 years ago, I made you known to them. And he said, I'm going to keep making you known. Well, they're dead. So who's he talking about? When you go further into the prayer, he said, I'm not praying just for these guys. I'm praying for everyone who believe in me because of what they've preached. That's you and me. Jesus wants to make God known to us. He's the only one that knows him. John said, nobody's ever seen God, but God, the one and only who came from his side, the Greek can be interpreted, came from his heart. He's made him known. And here in this, just before he goes to the cross, he's praying and he said, Father, I have made you known to these people and I'm going to keep making you known. Do you know one of the things I think there'll be so much praise in heaven for is that God is inexhaustible and it will be an eternity of him revealing himself to us? I believe that with all my heart. We try to be quiet in church. We're not charismaniacs. We try to have an ordered service. But in heaven, there's going to be shouting, hand clapping, praising God. And if you're offended by that, then don't worry, you're not going. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. You won't be able to keep from praising God when you're in that presence. Now, Paul said, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God. Now that's the truth, but why is there so much of the spirit of the world in the church today? That's sad. Think about that. A lot of churches have the spirit of the world in them. Why? Because they quit reading the Word of God. They quit believing the Word of God. They quit seeking God. And they're devoid of the Holy Spirit. Cut and dried. They have rejected the teachings of Scripture, and they say, we want to be like the world. You remember what happened when Samuel was a judge? He was the last judge in Israel, the first prophet, the last judge. And the Israelites said, we don't want a judge anymore, we want a king. And you remember what their excuse was or their reason? We want to be like everybody else. And I'm afraid that's what's happening in a lot of churches today. We want to be like everybody else in society. We're tired of being called names and, you know, called intolerant and bigot. We want to get along. So we're going to take the spirit of the world. What did Paul say to the Christian? You haven't received that spirit. Not if you've been saved. He said, we have received the Spirit of God that we might understand the things freely given to us. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you know that. You say, well, duh, yeah, I know what Paul means. It's the Holy Spirit. Then why do so many people shy away from him? Because you've been taught wrong. You've had people telling you that he doesn't exist anymore, or that he's not for us, or he's just some energy, or he's just God's love manifested. That's not what the Scriptures teach. This is what I want us to focus on, church. I have always endeavored, as a minister here, to present the Word to you. Let's look at what the Word says. Not dogma of the church, not doctrines of men. What does the Bible say? Do you believe it's the inspired Word of God? Do you believe it's inerrant, infallible, it'll stand forever? Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And we can go to the bank on that, church. Now, am I talking about getting all excitable and acting up? No. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the purpose of God's Spirit living within his people. And I hope that you can see, as much as I see, how much we need that, and we need to be asking God for it. Don't just assume you got all the Holy Spirit you need. The disciples were filled on the day of Pentecost. Then John and Peter stood before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, and it said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians, be being filled. That's ongoing. It's as we need this. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a super Christian, but I have had times that God has filled me with the Spirit because I needed to be filled with the Spirit for the thing I was facing. No, I didn't talk in tongues. I didn't flop around. I didn't pass out and hit the ground. But I had a deeper knowledge of God and understanding. There's two kinds of people in this world. And I'm talking about in religion. There's people that know about God and there's people that know God. What's the difference? The ones that know about God won't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the ones who know God. And farther than that, it's the one God claims to know. Jesus said in Matthew, many will say to me on that day, Lord, I did all these works in your name. I did all these good things. And he'll say, I didn't know you. That's a sad thing. Especially when he offers for his people to know him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now I'm going to break right here and bring another part of this text that Paul said. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Folly, foolishness. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. As I said, this is where false doctrines come from. This is where heresy comes from. And I didn't make this up. The Apostle Paul taught that. There was things going on in the church in his day. And he said, these people teaching you this do not have the Holy Spirit. He warned them. And it was sad because he was saying, you should know enough to know that yourself. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Now, I have sat under some unspiritual teaching. And praise God, the Spirit of God was the one that told me it wasn't spiritual, raised a red flag and said, get away from this. And I'm not unique. I'm not blessed above anybody else here. But I was just silly enough, when I got saved, I started reading this book for myself. I started putting things aside that all these other people were telling me. And I started saying, wow, God, I didn't know that. The Lord said, yep. I know that doesn't sound very holy, but yeah, that's the truth. Do you believe Jesus is the truth? So do I. Do you believe that the Word of God is the truth? Did you know Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth? Yeah, I need that. You know, as a Christian, I've been a Christian 42 years, I still pray and say, God, don't let me be deceived. Because you warned us that there'd be false prophets going out, and you said they would even do signs and wonders if it was possible. They'd even deceive the very elect. And I pray, because I'm ain't the sharpest tool in the shed, and I say, God, you help me not be deceived. You keep me from being deceived. And he honors that so far. I don't know how many times I've listened to very popular ministers and the Spirit of God say, no. Get your book out. Read it. Let me show you. And you'd read it and you go, you're right, Lord. I don't know where they're getting this. Men of carnal minds. They claim to know God, but all they know is about God. They make it up as they go. So Paul said the natural person, all this means, in the Nazarene church and Wesleyan theology, that was carnal. And we said that like a cuss word. Oh, they're carnal. All carnal means is devoid of the Holy Spirit. You all have a carnal nature, and so do I. Paul said it's always struggling with the Holy Spirit. The spirit and the flesh, that's another word for carnal, flesh. Struggle back and forth. So Paul's saying to the church, the person without the Spirit can't receive God's teachings. They're foolishness to them. It's above them. It's beyond them. And God's not going to share those secrets with somebody that's not his. Now, am I talking about secret, mysterious wisdom like the Gnostics? No. But I'm talking about this inexhaustible Word of God. I've been reading this for 42 years, and I see something different every year. Every year I read it from Genesis to Revelation, not boasting. I just decided that's how I'm going to read the book, and every year I see new things. And I believe that's the Spirit of God. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We. Well, I don't believe in the Trinity. That's okay. What are you going to call Jesus a liar? Jesus said, me and the Father, that's we, are going to live in you. And who else is going to live in you? The Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, I don't believe in it. That's all right. You want to call God a liar, you do it. I'm not going to. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. How much? All. Does he give it to us all at once? No, because we couldn't handle it. I was talking to Jacob before the service, and we were talking about the fires and the trials of life. The things that blindside you as a believer. Well, you need the Holy Spirit to get through those things. Yeah. Sometimes God doesn't always tell you why things are going on. Dr. James Dobson wrote a book I read several years ago, and it was called When God Doesn't Make Sense, and it was a good book because he talked about testimonies of Christians that got blindsided. Deaths in the family, loss of jobs, marriage, you know, fall apart, all these different things happening. And the first thing you think is, God must be mad. He wouldn't let this happen to me. I'm his kid. But the Bible says that God uses those fires to refine our faith. But you got to have the Holy Spirit. That's my opinion. That was John 16. Jesus said, the Spirit will reveal all truth to you. The Holy Spirit will keep you from being deceived, church, if you're willing to listen to him. Paul said the Holy Spirit will keep us from living in the flesh if we'll walk with him. That's why it's always disturbed me. Over the years, I've met Christians in different churches. I don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want that baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, that just freaks me out. Well, the Holy Ghost isn't a person, you know. He lives in the Word of God. He doesn't live in you because we got the whole Word. We don't need the Holy Spirit. That's my theological rebuttal for that. That is hogwash. That is carnality in spades. Now, you have a right to believe what you want to believe, and I won't condemn you. I'm not going to. I won't argue and butt heads with you. I'll just say, you go your way in the flesh. I'll try to go my way in the spirit, and let's see how it ends up. Okay. Paul said, who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. Now, I just read that. He will glorify me. It says he will declare to you the things that are to come. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In simplicity, that's what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is. Now, I don't believe there's new revelations apart from this Bible. And I saw that in the Pentecostal church. People say, well, I have a word from the Lord. Really? And it had nothing to do with Scripture. The Holy Spirit told me, that's not me. That's why I got out of the Pentecostal church. I was watching something the other day, and this Yahoo got on there and said, I have a word from the Lord. You need to send me $1,000. And I thought, you better talk to him again. Because I ain't got $1,000 and I wouldn't send it to you if I did have it. And it makes me wonder, how gullible are people? You know why that attracts people? It's a greed thing. You send me that $1,000 and the Lord's going to multiply it. Yay, he's going to fix your marriage. Your wife will get good looking again. You'll get that job you want. Your dog won't bite you anymore. The list goes on and on and on. And I know I'm being facetious, but that's how I see that when I hear these guys doing that. That's a perfect example of somebody that knows about God and doesn't know him. They're devoid of the Holy Spirit. They're in it to make money. You remember what Paul told Timothy? Those who think godliness is a means of gain, turn away from them. You know what that means? Shut the TV off. Switch channels. Don't listen to them. Don't invite them in your house. Don't hear them out. Jesus said the Holy Spirit came to glorify him. Not the gifts. Not you. Not me. Not the church. He's not God's power manifested. He is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one who knows the thoughts of God. He knows the will of God. He knows God's intentions. And God has placed him within his people so he can share these things with us. He loves us. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus called him the Helper, the Spirit of Truth. He's come to reveal the will of God to the church. He has come to reveal God to his church. The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. Now, if you want to say, I don't need to know the mind of Christ, I don't want to go to the mind of Christ, that's your prerogative. I do. I need the mind of Christ. I want to know the will of God. I think I would leave you with a question that Paul asked the Ephesian believers. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Don't answer that. Please don't come up and try to argue with me about it. Just think about that. Have I received your Spirit? Would you stand with me this morning? God wants us to know him, and that's only accomplished through the indwelling of his Spirit. Jesus said to the religious teachers of his day, the Pharisees, you diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you have eternal life. And there are a lot of people like that today. Well, I read my Bible every day. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I try to do this. I try to do that. That's called moralism. Okay? I'm trying to be a good person so I'll go to heaven. It won't work. He told the Pharisees, those scriptures are the ones that testify about me, but you won't come to me. Don't get caught in that trap. Repent and believe the gospel. Be baptized into Christ. And the Bible says you will receive the Holy Spirit.